All right. I wish to extend the greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Blessing to be here with you again this morning, those that can be here and those that haven't seen for a while, just bless you all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us this morning. We thank you for your goodness again. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom. Help us do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Blessed day today, the resurrection of our Lord. I want to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Days in the Bible before the resurrection, it said, "And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided him up his garments among themselves, casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head they put up the charge against him, which read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' And at that time two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from his cross and we shall believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he delights in him, for he said, I am the Son of God.' The robbers who had been crucified him were also insulting him with the same words. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" I want to stop there for just a moment. Well, I just want to stop there for now. Before the resurrection, Jesus lived in this earth, walked on this earth, and came to the cross. The Bible says of him in Isaiah, says that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected among men. You know, we talk about the resurrection, we love the idea of the resurrection, but before there was a resurrection, there had to be a cross. And Jesus in his life, if we believe who we said, say we do about who he really is, and for him to humble himself and to live in this world walking among men as the lowest of men, being despised, being rejected, nobody listening to him, very few people paying any attention to him, being rejected by men, and then coming to this place with a cross, the Golgotha, a horrible place, a place where they hung men on trees and nailed them to them, crucified them. And here, as they had him hung on this tree, they took his clothes, and men were gambling over who was going to get what was left of his life. And then they began to mock him, saying, "This is the one that's king of the Jews." And then they were also crucified two thieves with him, one on either side. I've often said this, so many people worry about their appearance or how they might appear to people in the public or how people might think of them, their testimony. And here, if you were just looking on, seeing three men crucified, the world saw three robbers or three thieves, three rabble, just three people who needed crucified. They didn't know who the one was, and yet Jesus didn't try to distinguish himself from among them. He just quietly bowed his head to this rejection and this treatment. He was crucified among thieves. So many today that want to be a Christian or want to be a disciple, want to make sure everybody knows that I'm not part of them. I'm not one of those, but yet Jesus didn't make that distinction. He just went through what God had him to go through. If we would live in the moment and the things that are like so many are, we would, that's our only focus is the moment. We would have to make sure everybody knew that we weren't a part of that or we were distinguished from it. And yet Jesus saw past the moment and not trying to gain recognition for himself, not trying to make sure everybody understood him or knew him, just bowed himself to that, bowed his heart to it. The spirit of Jesus was wronged. He was wronged. And yet, going through those things, he came to the resurrection. The spirit of Jesus and the spirit of the world are two different things. And oftentimes we think it's about some kind of religious rituals or some kind of religious things that we're doing. But in reality, this is a spiritual warfare. We're in a spiritual battle, and there's two spirits at work here. That's why Jesus said in one place, he said that he that is not for me is against me. And he that doesn't gather with me scatters abroad. I think that kind of gives us a little bit of an idea sometimes in the world we live in, just for an example, with the Facebook and the people online, you can just become friends with someone and really have nothing to do with them. We've had people that have just been against us and then want to be friends on Facebook. It's just a phony thing. But that's what Jesus was talking about, is he that is not with me is against me. And if we look at that just for a moment, you know, we see people that we know are not with us. I mean, there's people that as a group here and as in the world, we know that they're not against us or they're not for us. And yet, when you see them, they're all friendly and smiles and just trying to put on like they're with us, or they just really put on like they want to be with us. But yet, in reality, in real life, he that is not for us is against us. And that's what this spirit that Jesus had brought a division among people. And that he that is not with us is against us. And then Jesus living out his life, being despised and rejected, people that turned their back on him. He had been, his disciples had forsaken him and denied him. One of them even completely betrayed him, sold out where he was for a few pieces of silver. And yet, here, he just went through this. And got to the end of the time on the cross. After much suffering, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even at the end, I mean, we could almost think, well, he thought the Lord had betrayed him. I mean, just you could almost see a lack of faith there that even the Lord had. But yet, the spirit that the Lord had that carried him through is what we're talking about, and that's what brought him to the resurrection. But how low and how hard his life was to get to the point, and how difficult this time he went through, to where he would cry out on a cross and say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where are you, Lord? What a desperate cry in the last moments of his life. And if we think about a testimony of the Lord, we would think someone, he ought to just been shouting hallelujah. I mean, that's kind of the idea we would get, that he would just be praising God right up to the end. And yet, here Jesus, at the very end, was even questioning where the Lord was and why he was felt so forsaken. Faith is much more than just what meets the eye. It's something much deeper than that. And then we come to the next day, where after he was buried, he was for 3 days and nights in the tomb, and then on the third day, after all appeared lost, he rose again. And that's what we want to celebrate, and we appreciate that, and we're thankful for it, that there is a resurrection and that we can be a part of it. But don't forget that before there's a resurrection, there has to be a death and there has to be a cross. We can deny our cross and have to fix everything, or we can just bear our cross and go through it like Jesus did. And it's such a blessing, and so thankful that he did. I mean, the resurrection really means very little unless you look at the life that brought about that resurrection. It wasn't just a coasting through life, and then he just had to go through this and then rose again. It was a very severe trial that he went through to be worthy of the resurrection, to be counted worthy of it. We have the opportunity in this life that when we go through difficult times, when we face the cross, we're given an opportunity to be a partaker of his suffering. This life is, whenever we have opportunities, we can just take this time and look at it as a practice in patience, a time just to reflect on what Jesus went through and how he was faithful going through it. And we can rejoice that there is something beyond the grave, and it is such a blessing to know that, to have that hope, even though sometimes it looks like there is very little hope. We see that spirit that Jesus had, and just as a contrast, the spirit of faith. We've got Isaac and Ishmael, and we know that Isaac was a man of faith, and we look at Ishmael, the son of the handmaiden, and we see that how going through and living at those times, Ishmael was rejected and cast aside, had a hard time whenever he was just a young man, and his mother had been rejected by Abraham and Sarah. And instead of overcoming, he just took that exercise that he had to go through, that trouble that he went through, and became slighted. And the temptation today is for us to feel slighted. And that is the exact opposite. There's comparisons all over the Bible about Isaiah and Ishmael and how the two, the one of faith and the one of not of faith, and when you look at how that all boils down, or how it all comes out, one had the spirit of the Lord, of being despised and rejected, and yet pursuing on. And instead of becoming slighted and having his feelings hurt and becoming angry and bitter, he rose above it. He rose from it. And yet we see the spirit of Ishmael, instead of rising above being slighted, he succumbed to it and became angry. And the spirit that he possessed is the heart of this Muslim religion. If you look at just how people live today and how they promote their religion, their hope is that they can get revenge because they've been slighted. If you listen to their arguments and their mullahs, it's about waiting for God to... Their God is a God of one that's going to bring vengeance on this world. And they try to bring that out because of the anger and bitterness that they possess. We often see that in all manners of all different areas of life. People who are slighted. And so instead of quietly going through, they rise up in rebellion. They stir up crowds. The people who have been in history have been wronged. Instead of rising above that, they succumb to a bitterness or anger that God has put them in this place, or God made them this way. And so they succumb to this spirit of being slighted, instead of the spirit that Jesus had, the spirit that looks towards the resurrection. And so if you just examine different areas, that instead of patiently enduring what God has, we rise up, cause a rebellion, cause a big stir, and get people all excited about how they're wronged. And we see that in the world all over today. That's socialism and communism. That's the heart of the beginnings of those things, is someone stirring up people with their emotions of being slighted. And just wars have been fought over this for generations. Man is still the same. And that's why I think the prophecy of Ishmael, it says that every man's hand will be against his own brother. They'll never get along. They'll be fighting continually. And that's just a prophecy that the Lord gave about Ishmael. And the heart of that prophecy comes from why every man's hand will be at each other. When you're slighted, you can't get along with anybody because you're just looking for someone somewhere that's a justification for your anger because you've been slighted, you've been wrong, and how opposite we see the Spirit of the Lord just bowing his head to whatever would come. I've often talked about in Gethsemane when Jesus was there and he wept tears saying, "Lord, if this can pass from me, please take it away." That's what he wanted. He wanted the Lord to take this pain away and this suffering. But yet he endured and said, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." And I think that's where he got the courage to go through this awful death so that he could get to the resurrection. And that's such a glorious thing that Christ has risen from the dead. Christ has defeated his enemies. He overcame them. And so that we also can overcome them. May the Lord add his blessings. God bless y'all until we meet again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of God. Revive us again. stockings